Listening to Boston Public Radio, I am Jim Browdy. She is Marjorie Egan. One day from now, the 115 cardinals in attendance go into the Sistine Chapel lockdown to pick the successor to Benedict. Every day this week, we'll hear directly from Rome. Joining us today on the line from Rome is Chris Livesay. He's a reporter for ANSA, Italy's state-run news agency. And by the way, that's the group which broke the story of Pope Benedict resigning in Latin. Good morning, I guess in your case. Good afternoon, Chris Livesay. Thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure.
Thank you so much. So not to go right to the dreaded local angle immediately, but we wanted to do it because everybody in Boston is on dying to know. I have heard, and you certainly are on top of this, Chris, that if the two front runners, and you can tell us all about them, don't get picked in the first or second round, Tuesday or Wednesday, that the second tier of candidates, which includes Sean O'Malley, could possibly walk away and Sean O'Malley could possibly become the next pope?
Well, these tiers sort of depend on what day of the week it is. It's depending on who you talk to. If you talk to reporters from Corriere della Sera, which is Italy's leading daily, they like O'Malley more than they like anyone else, at least according to a survey they just conducted asking their own Vatican reporters and the Italian public. So, you know, chances seem a lot better now for O'Malley than they would have when he first got here. He seemed like a dark horse candidate, but slowly but surely he managed to charm the Italians. He's got sort of a you know, he wears his brown habit. He looks sort of like Friar Tuck, and that goes over really well with Italy right now. You know, Italy has been hammered by a recession. It's still suffering from a lot of the other side effects of the Euro crisis, and the Franciscans come across as being the most down-to-earth, the most in touch with, you know, the struggle of the people. So, unfortunately for him, if he does, in fact, want to be pope, it's not the Italian people who make these decisions. It's the 115 cardinal electors. So
right.
It's anyone's guess who's going to walk out of this thing, the pope.
We're talking to Chris Livesay. He's a reporter for ANSA, it's Italy's state-run news agency. Chris, but what are I know it's all speculative with some interviews here and there. What are the criteria? What are the 115 men looking for in a next pope? At least you're closest to the scene. What are they looking for?
If you talk to a veteran Vatican reporter, they'll tell you that, you know, 115 of these guys are looking for 115 different things. Some of them, of course, want to become pope themselves, although they'll never say so publicly. There's an old saying in Italian that goes, he who enters a pope exits a cardinal. In other words, if you publicly say that you want to be pope, you've pretty much just ruled yourself out, which is one thing that Cardinal Turkson from Ghana did on accident, perhaps, early in the game, and he probably ruined any chances he ever had of becoming pope. So what are they looking for? Well, it's a really tough one. They're looking for a strong leader, first of all. I think that's something you can get consensus for, and I know that sounds completely banal, but in order to understand that, you have to look at the sort of the absolute crisis that's been taking place at the Vatican over at least the last year, probably much longer. It's just only been coming to the surface over the last year with the so-called VatiLeaks case, which, as I'm sure everyone's heard of, the infamous butler of Benedict XVI leaking documents. Regardless of the contents of those leaks, it proved to pretty much everyone that Benedict was, you know, perhaps a great man, a great theologian, but not the best administrator in the world. So I think that's something that's on the forefront of every elector's mind right now.
You know, getting back to O'Malley just for a second, then I want to talk about that leadership thing, Chris Livesay, if I can. The line we read prior to the Cardinals getting to Rome, post-Benedict's resignation, but prior to the arrival of the Cardinals, at least most of the Cardinals, was the last thing that the vast majority of these men want is America running something else, that there's either anger, jealousy, whatever, that America thinks or actually runs the world, and there's resentment about that. Is that just media crap, or is that real there?
Well, it's based on precedent. For a long time, the Vatican would never have considered electing a pope from the United States, especially during the Cold War. It would have looked like you know, the Vatican was
taking
sides, had a dog in the fight, exactly. Yeah. But as we move further and further away from the Cold War, it seems to become less and less of an issue. I spoke to a number of Vatican experts this morning, and for them, the story was that these Americans are contenders right now. That would have been inconceivable even 8 years ago when Ratzinger became Benedict XVI. So I don't think that still has the same stigma about it once had, and it might be because of the personalities that each of these American cardinals bring to the table. On the one hand, you've got Cardinal O'Malley, who is a quiet but a very affable soul. I mean, people really seem to connect with this guy here. And then you've got Dolan from New York, who is a garrulous,
huge personality,
joke-telling guy. Exactly. Yeah, he comes across really well with Italians as well, and with the other cardinals. A lot of them are simply thinking, well, who do we want to see sitting in this throne? You know, who do we want to have to listen to for the next decade or two? Do we want it to be somebody like Dolan, who can crack a good joke every once in a while? Do we want it to be somebody like O'Malley, who comes across as extremely thoughtful and has discernment? Or, you know, do we want somebody who's cold and quiet, but hell, he can run a really good Vatican. He knows how to run a clean shop.
Chris, you're on the scene over there in at the Vatican. I wonder what it's like. Are there these huge, you know, like you see at big events, big four-story scaffolding for TV towers? Is the Vatican Square just absolutely packed with reporters? What's it like?
Yeah, it's packed. There are at least 5,000 accredited journalists here right now, and then there are probably just as many who aren't accredited. There's certainly a frenzy, and I'll tell you what, one thing that strikes me is how businesslike things have been. 8 years ago, you have to remember that there was a death. I mean, we were mourning the loss of John Paul II. This time around, there isn't that air that says we should respect the dead. In other words, that translates to being able to ask harder questions. You don't have to worry about offending anyone. Now, of course, Benedict is still around, and people were wondering, well, what kind of influence will he have on the conclave and the pre-conclave meetings? So far, he's been just as low-key as he promised he would be, and it's made for some interesting reporting. So you've got, a lot of interesting questions that came up at several press conferences that took place within and outside of the Vatican that perhaps wouldn't have been asked as frequently and with as much courage as, if we were still mourning the death of a pope.
Hey, Chris Libsayer from ANSA, the Italian state-run news agency. Are all of you guys in panic about what to report once the doors are locked at the Sistine Chapel tomorrow? What do you do? I mean, assuming that there are no leaks, which one must assume there aren't, and that there's no news coming from inside other than black smoke when they fail to pick a pope, what do you talk about? I'm serious. What do you talk about for a day, a week, or whatever?
Right. Well,
how many pairs of shoes there are for the next pope?
The size of the shoes, shoes.
Oh, you'll definitely see a lot of stories like that, but you'll also see a lot of stories that are unsourced. Absolutely, the Italian media has a penchant for producing stories, especially about the Vatican, that are unsourced. In general, in Italy, people don't like to go on the record about anything, and that's especially true with the Vatican, and has been true in the run-up to the conclave. So, in theory, it should be radio silence. But you know, even in the run-up just now, there have been anonymous sources talking to, or at least some journalists claim to have spoken to anonymous sources who talk about there being more moles inside the Vatican. Recently, one alleged mole told La Repubblica, another leading Italian daily, that there were at least 20 moles inside of the Vatican just waiting for the right moment to unleash another trove of secret documents. So I think that we'll see at least a couple more stories like that in the meantime. And, a lot of stories on papal shoes as
okay.
well.
Okay, so Chris, let's handicap the front runners here because it is Monday. The conclave is going to begin tomorrow. You said Sean O'Malley is beloved by at least this major Italian daily. Who else? Handicap the front runners.
Well, so we've also got Cardinal Scola from Italy. If you believe the bookies, he seems to have the best odds
bookies.
Right now. He's an Italian. He's the Archbishop from Milan. And despite being Italian, he's not seen as an insider because you have to understand that just by being an Italian cardinal doesn't mean you're inside the Curia. That's the administrative body that runs the Vatican. He is seen as an outsider in that regard. And these days, that probably bodes well for him. Of course, it would hurt him in some respect, you know, especially among the cardinals from the Curia who are going to be voting. They may want somebody who knows how to, you know, maneuver that system, and he doesn't have that kind of experience on record. So he's the leading Italian candidate. Another leading contender, which in Italian is known as a papabile, one who could become pope, comes from Brazil. He's Cardinal Scherer. He's of German origin, but of course he's Brazilian. And, you know, he heads up the Sao Paulo diocese, which is the biggest diocese in Brazil, which has the biggest Catholic population in the world. And so those looking to the future of the Catholic Church have a very strong argument in saying we need to elect a guy like Cardinal Scherer.
Hey, Chris, Livesay, I just have one last question. Chris is from ANSA, which is Italy's state-run news agency, obviously on the ground right there in Rome for this this momentous decision that's going to be made in the next handful of days. Cardinal George from Chicago made the comment about zero tolerance on sex abuse the other day, which shocked a lot of people and pleased a lot of people in this country. Sean O'Malley made a comment, a similar comment, maybe not as strong the other day. And then all of a sudden, the Vatican shut down all communications between the cardinals and the public. Is it wrong for me to assume that it's because of what they were talking about that all of a sudden the cardinals were told to go silent, or am I just doing conspiracy thinking?
I don't think it's wrong to sense a correlation there, but what I think it is instead a culture clash. What they were most likely responding to were some anonymous sources speaking to Italian newspapers about the goings-on inside of the pre-conclave meetings. And then you had simultaneously these Americans who were holding press conferences almost daily and being very forward with their comments, however, being also very careful not to violate their code of secrecy. And that's just not something that, you know, Italians or the Vatican is very used to. So just as a precaution, it looks like they said enough is enough. We've got to go media silence here, blackout.
Bad news for us. Thank you, Chris.
Chris, thank you so much for joining us today. We've been talking with Chris Livesay. He's a reporter with ANSA, Italy's state-run news agency, the agency that broke the story, actually, of the Pope resigning in Latin.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you.
Up next, we're going to return to the working world. I guess the popes aren't really working the same way. The cardinals aren't working the same way the rest of us are. We're going to go to the workplace do's and don'ts with Robin Abrams, the woman behind the Globe's misconduct column. That's next on 89.7 WGBH Boston Public Radio.